That's what Jesus called rote, vain repetition. He said to think they'll be heard for their vain repetitions. But that prayer is full of so much power. I mean, it's, just singing it has so much power. You know, there's a celebration of paternity, our Father. There's a celebration of partnership when he says, put our wills together. There's a celebration of provision. Give us this day. You know, there's a celebration of protection. Lead us not into temptation. It starts with praise, our Father in heaven. It ends with praise. Thine be the kingdom. You know, I mean, there's so much power in that prayer. And there was a time in my life when I prayed that prayer every day as a roadmap. I used all of those different elements. You know, God told us what we should be asking for. We should be asking for pardon, forgiveness, you know, forgive us our debts. We should be asking for provision, Father, provide for us every single day. We should be asking for protection. Protect us, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. We praise Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you could just get lost praying that prayer in that partnership. Now, that was all free. I don't have a thing to do with what I'm going to talk about. I want to talk about seasons. That's what I'm going to talk about, seasons. Surviving them. You know, life is a season, the Lord told me one time. There was a time in my life when I was in just despair. You know, I was in so much despair, just beginning in the ministry, and it was so hard. And every time I'd turn around, I'd cry, you know. Sometimes I felt like God had left me. I felt like I was on my own, you know. And I was working in a tire shop for $5 an hour, and the job was so hard. I come home, and I couldn't open my hands. I mean, I'd rip bags off big truck tires all day. My wife would literally have to turn the shower on for me because I couldn't open my hands to turn the shower on. I would be black from head to toe because of the tire rubber coming through my clothes, you know. And just a physically exhausting job. I was in a 200-degree chamber all day long, taking recap tires in, pulling recaps out. Just really having a hard time. Just starting in the ministry. And one day I was standing there and I just busted out. I mean, I was broke, you know. You know, we got paid weekly, you know, with $5 an hour, it was very weekly, let me tell you that much. But I did get paid every week, and we made our bills, but it was really hard. And, you know, I had to drive 40 minutes to work, you know, in an uneconomical vehicle. And it was just hard. And I remember I just couldn't help it. I got overwhelmed, and there was a big truck tire, and I put it on a spreader, and I opened the thing up. And this is where this message comes from. This message comes from my heart. I'm going to do a little series here on surviving seasons. You know, surviving the seasons of life. I stuck my face in that tire, and I started weeping because I was supposed to check in there. I didn't want anybody in the shop seeing me weeping. You know, they already thought I was a weirdo because I didn't eat lunch with them. I sat and read my books and studied, and I think I was studying for another test while I was there, probably the ordained test, you know, and it was just hard all the way around, you know, and those guys, they didn't want to have a whole lot to do with me, you know, so I just ate my lunch by myself, usually, me and my partner, and that day I was all tore up, and I stuck my head in that tire, and, you know, one of the things you have got to learn if you're going to be a Christian is that the teacher never talks during a test. And when you're going through a test, you're not going to get any information from God. You're going to have to rely on what he has said, what is in his word. You know, and if you're not going to be a Bible student, you're going to live this Christian life lost, not knowing what God wants you to do with your life. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. The only way you will ever walk in the pattern that God has for you is if you will pick that book up on some day other than Sunday. And you'll become a Bible student, you know, because it is your communication with God. And if you don't pick it up, you're not going to know the direction He wants you to go. He'll say, well, what's His will, you know? What's His will? It's all over the book. And actually, I'm going to talk about that in the coming months, His will. It's all over the book, what His will is. I know you want Him to say, I want you to quit this job and go to this job. Or you want Him to say, I want you to buy that house. Or I want you to do this. See, this is what you want. The problem is you won't get in the Word to find out what He wants. I promise you, if you find out what He wants, your want will be awesome. At least that's what I have done. I take forever making decisions that are major. But when I make them, I never look back. I look forward only. I mean, I'm not making very many dumb decisions anymore, Brett. I made a lot of them when I was young. But I'm not making them no more. Bible says, with gray hair comes wisdom. I should be a wise sucker by now. Right? How many of you gray heads in there wish you knew what you knew now when you was 20, huh? You can't remember. Oh, I remember well what I did. You know, my direction was not in a good direction. I stuck my head in that tire, and God said, son, this is only for a season. I went, wow, this is only a season. So, you know, we're all distraught and falling apart in life, and everything is only for a season. You know? That Sunday, I went to church. Had no message. The pastor called me. Brother Don! Yeah? Can't talk! Can you preach? Wow. I wasn't like I am now. You hand me a Bible and get out of my way. Back in them days is, what am I going to say? Kind of like if I just handed you a Bible and said, come on up here, Marissa. I want you to preach this morning. That's what he did to me, you know. And I went, oh, my gosh, you know. I thought, oh, Lord. So I went, you know, I'm going to be spiritual here. Lord, I know that you have a message today. He didn't say nothing to me. People's going, oh, I sought the Lord about His word. Give me a break. He didn't say nothing to me. That was so doggone selfish on my part, and He don't answer that. So I had no idea what to say. I'm sitting there in the congregation. They're going through the songs, and I go, I got to say something this morning. Man, I got all kinds of notes. I had nothing. What's the last thing He told me? Son, this is only a season. That's the last thing He said. That was, I think, Friday or Thursday or something like that. Okay, season, 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 season. Ecclesiastes! Every time I read this passage, I think of that. Ecclesiastes. And so I got up and I preached that life is a season. That's what I'm going to do today. Tells us life is a season. We all got to pass through this natural course in life. In other words, you got to be born of a woman in order to be in this world. In order to find your true destiny with God, you have to be born of a woman here. The problem is like the Garden of Eden, there's a snake in this paradise. Amen? That snake is known as the devil. And he's bound to make your life miserable. He wants to make your life hard on this side of heaven. That way, you can blame God. And some, I sadly say, turn from following Him. And friends, I'm going to tell you right now, life can be very hard at times. If I went around the room and I said, I want you to tell me something that's been really hard in your life, you could all give me something. Many of us could give multiple things. And I'm not talking about the stuff that kids think is hard today, you know. I'm not talking about soft today. You know, I like what Butch said this morning. We were talking, he said, I like old cowboy movies because that's when men were men. Them movies, men were men. You know what I mean? Not like today's stuff on TV, you know, where you got two women always kissing or two men or whatever, you know. It's not the same. You got to remember something, though. You haven't made it to heaven yet. And you're not going to find heaven on this earth. In heaven, God promises to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Be no crying. But not in this life on this earth. There's no tear wiping from God. He promises to be with us, to protect us, to use us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of the seasons of life that we all have to go through. And all of those seasons are designed, folks, listen to me, all of them are designed to perfect you into the image of His Son. Oh, hallelujah. That's His ultimate goal. That's what today's message is all about. Understanding how you can be changed into the image of Jesus. In the next few weeks, I'm going to teach you about the five seasons of life and how we pass through them on our journey to heaven, leading up to Christmas. After you finish this series of teachings, you'll have a better understanding of what season you are currently in with God right now. All of us are in different seasons. And at the same time, you'll know what to expect in the next season when you get ready to enter into that. In my own life, I have learned to discern the seasons. I know of special seasons in my life that are hard on me. This is one of them coming up. I have two times in my life that's hard. This is one of them. This month coming up is very hard on me. In the spring, early summer is another time that's really hard on me. I know that. I don't know why. I wish I could tell you why. But you remember the Bible says that after Jesus kicked the devil's behind, it says He left him for a what? Season. See, even Jesus had these seasons in our life. There are going to be times when you're abounding. And there are going to be times when you're abased. And you have to learn that. You have to learn that. Some people just live their life blind, hoping everything will work out. Flying by the seat of their pants, you know? Planning nothing and expecting the different results. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a fact out there I don't want you to ever forget, that there is a devil bent on destroying your life. So please don't bury your head in the sand and ignore that very important fact. Instead of blaming people and blaming others for things that you may do, or you need to look beyond the natural of what people are doing. Look beyond the actions of people that are against you and see into the spiritual realm and see a devil that is bent on destroying your life. Now that's the important quality that Jesus used. That's why He was able to go through everything that He was able to go through, was because He seen beyond the natural into the supernatural. It allowed Jesus to face Satan head on. He could look Peter right in the face, folks. Listen to me. He could look Peter right in the face and say, "Get behind me, Satan." And you're going, "What? I thought Peter was a disciple." He was. Because he understood that the devil was using Peter to try to form his plan. Now, whatever you do, don't bail out on God in the midst of a trial. Always remember that resurrection's coming in the morning. Amen? And so this first message, I'm going to entitle it, if I had to put a title, Understanding Seasonal Transitions. Understanding the Transitions. And I've used that verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a season to everything. And if you go on through there, you'll read a time to be born, a time to die, a time to sing, a time to not sing, a time to dance. It goes on through the whole list of all the different things. Time to make war, time to live at peace. All the different things that are in our life are found in that chapter. The Bible itself tells us that there's a time and a season for everything that we got to go through. Life itself is nothing more than a segment of seasons that we all pass through to get to the finish line of faith. The last act that the Apostle Paul, and I don't have the time to go through all the acts of the Apostle Paul. Read it in the book of Acts. If I went through all the different things that Paul did, you would go, whew. You know, and we just got a scaled down version of everything that he did. All right? But his final act was write a little epistle. And in that little epistle, he said, I have finished my course. I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. I have kept the faith. And probably the next day they cut his head off. I mean, he saw all the way to the end. You know? In order for us to move from one life season to another, change. Everybody say change. Change. Must occur. Everybody in this room don't like that. We know nobody likes change, maybe besides me. But everybody likes it routine because you got it all figured out, you know? You got it all figured out. You know, do you know how long it took me to tell you what I'm telling you? It took me a decade to tell you what I'm telling you today to figure this out. You kids in here, man, you don't even have to figure it out. I'm going to tell you what it means. Took me a decade to figure out that God's a change agent and that he didn't want me comfortable. Come on, Lord, a little bit of comfort. No comfort. I want you to depend on, listen to me, the comforter. Now, why do you need a comforter if you're living in comfort? Why do you need that? If your life is all about comfort, why do you need a comforter? Because you're going to need to get, listen, comforted in this life. And that's so powerful. You can't grow closer to God without change. When we transition, we grow. And growth brings glory to God. Not only physical growth, but spiritual growth, natural growth, all that growth brings glory to God. How many of you have ever... I took my high school varsity jacket a few years ago and I thought, I'm going to put that on. Yes, I am. My old big red S on there and them little pins on that thing that I almost killed myself to get. You know? Yes, I am. Sure I am. I'm going, where did that guy go that wore this thing, you know? I think it was a 38 or a 40, something like that, my jacket. I wear a 52 now. Just a little bit smaller than normal. You know? Change happened, Brett. You know? People keep clothes from when they were a kid expecting to get in them again. It ain't happening, folks. Change happens to you. Whether you want it to or not, it's going to happen. We don't like it, but it has to happen. Every season has a transition. Now, some of you are going to know what I'm talking about. Didn't we have a beautiful fall? I mean, one of the best falls we've had in really a lot of years was this year that I remember, you know. But all of you that have some gray hair or hair that isn't dyed, you all noticed when the transition to fall came. Because one morning you got out of bed and you went, and you started feeling it in your body, right? Am I the only one that experienced this? You wouldn't even have to go outside. You could stay in the house in your beautiful little 72 degrees and know that it changed outside. You know? That's a natural transition that happens in our physical body whenever cold comes, you know. The body was not meant to be put in cold. The garden was not minus 20. The garden, listen, was paradise. So what is God's plan for my life? Paradise! I'm running around naked and it's beautifully warm. That's God's plan. Oh, hallelujah. I don't care how much wardrobe you have, you ain't taking none of it with you. Sorry. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone that is called on my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yeah, I have made him. Isaiah is telling us that we were all created for his glory. So what have we learned thus far? I want to make sure you get the simplicity of all this. What have we learned thus far? I want to keep it simple. So I'm going to break it down step by step. We have learned that every situation that happens to us in life is for God's glory. And you're going, say what? Some of you may be saying, I can't believe that, Pastor Don. Yes, it's true. Both, listen, good and bad things happen to all of us. And not without the attention of the Heavenly Father. A fellow believer of God wants to promote us from glory to glory. He wants to promote us. The problem is we don't want to take the test to get the promotion. In order to be promoted, we have to be tested. And listen, we have to be found overqualified for the season that we were in right now. And once you find yourself overqualified, you'll get promoted. Now, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, Beloved, think it not strange. This is so crazy. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. There's verses I don't like. Here's one of them. Rejoice! Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory, oh yes, shall be revealed, it may be glad with exceeding joy. Now most of us know that to be promoted to the next grade in school, you have to take a grade level assessment test. And that test says, this is what I know. It shows the educator what you've learned thus far. And that way they'll be able to plan what they will teach you in the coming year. They don't want to keep rehashing what you already know. So if you're lacking in one area, it'll tell them that they need to work on that area so that you can go to the next level. Educators want to make sure we can handle what is coming in the next grade before they give it to us. And I'm telling you right now, God is no different. He is an educator. He wants to make sure that you're able to handle the next level before He promotes you. There's so many routes I could go right now. I'm going to be sad to say some of you are not getting promoted. Because you're going to get to the Jordan River and you're going to stop. You seeing what God's doing? Children of Israel got to the Jordan River and said, I can't go across. There's giants over there. Can't do it. The cities are walled. They're impenetrable. Can't do it. Joshua and Caleb, yes, but you're not understanding. God is on our side. That's why it said they were of another spirit. The rest didn't know the word. They didn't know what God's word said. Joshua and Caleb knew what the word said. The word said, I'm giving you this for a possession. Now see, we live in this freebie society that everything's got to be for nothing. You don't have to work for anything. You know, society's just going to give it to you. That's not true. They had to kill Og, a 17-foot tall giant. I'm guessing that. He had a 21-foot tall betta. I'm guessing he's that big. He had to kill Sihon. Another giant. Those 10 spies, they go, we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. I read that and I went, see, I asked questions. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. Now, how in the world did he know that? Did he walk up to one of them giants and say, do I look like a grasshopper? They had let what they can do stop them from crossing the Jordan. And that's what happens with us. We limit ourselves to us, and then we can't get promoted. We limit ourselves to what we can do. And folks, if we can do it, you know, then we don't need God. It's that simple. If you can figure it out by yourself, isn't God giving you the test? I guarantee He will test you to see if He can trust you. And if you pass the test, you'll be promoted. If you don't pass the test, He has a unique way of showing you the right way. He makes you go around the mountain. You just pray it's not 40 years. It will be a amount of time. You'll go around the mountain. What I said, you just pray it ain't 40 years. From the time where you did not listen. You know, my wife and I, we've made a huge leap of faith, you know, a couple, three times in our life. And we took this church's pastor was a huge leap of faith. You know, I had a full-time salary. She was working hard as a nurse, but she was just starting. She wasn't making enough money to cover our budget. We had to use credit cards more than once to pay our bills. I ended up running up thousands and thousands of dollars worth of debt. The only way she would let me take this church, because I was enjoying myself as a children's leader. I was blowing in, blowing up, and blowing out. And those gentlemen were, all those pastors were paying me to come in and do it. I mean, I brought the whole program with me. They didn't have to do nothing. I mean, that's inviting. Somebody says, I will come to your church and do an entire children's program for you. I don't need any help from anybody. I don't need any curriculum, which costs thousands of dollars. I don't need anything. Just let me come in and do it. That's inviting. One, the neat thing was I didn't even ask. They asked me to do it. That was the neat thing about it. So it wasn't like I was going around asking and trying to sell myself. We were having a good time. But we run up thousands of dollars. You know, it wasn't until I was here for several years I was able to pay that debt back that we run up. Thank God we were able to pay it back. So everything in life is not sweet. You know, I will say for the last 12 years in this place, we have seen a steady growth. Building line upon line, not exploding. But I believe that God is at work in this house. And I believe the next 5 years is going to be even more so at work in this house. We're making some big changes. You know, I believe we're going to see records in the next few years. I believe the church, this church is in a season of harvest. And I believe we have been tried and we've been found faithful. And I believe the world is ready for harvest. Do you guys believe that? I mean, have you ever seen a time when the world was so hostile? They're ready for harvest. God is checking to see who's weak-kneed and who can't handle it. And that's the people who take flight at the first sight of problems. We've had a few of them in here. So many Christians are here today, gone tomorrow. The Bible tells us to stand fast, and when you've done all to stand, stand. For some people, today it's church, tomorrow it's NASCAR. Or it's the lake. Or it's the mall. Or it's whatever, you know. God wants us to be steadfast. That's how we grow. When God wants to bless you or use you, He has to test you. The question is, will you pass the test? Most do not. Instead, they sit around and complain about how hard things are. And I remind you, you know, with every move, it's harder and harder. With every move of God, it's harder and harder. With every move that we have made, it got harder financially on us. I was wondering, God, are you with me anymore? Little did I know, He was trying to move me to a level of faith with Him that I didn't really want to go. You see, folks, God is omniscient. What does omniscient mean? It means He's all-knowing. Wouldn't that mean that He already knows our faith level? Now He tests you in this life to reveal yourself, listen, to you. Because He already knows. You just don't know who you are unless you're tested. The test is a mirror to show you your level of commitment. It's easy to shout when things are going good and there's money in bank and there's peace at home and everybody's healthy and gas in the car and food in the cupboard. But testimonies come from tests. Somebody say amen. They don't come when things are easy. God wants to see if you can sing when things aren't so good. He wants to see if you still have your song. Now folks, everybody's going to go through seasonal transitions. And if you think you're not, I'm sorry. I'm going to bust your bubble today. Everybody in the Bible has. I mean, we just think of John the Baptist. He's a little boy. He's playing with Jesus in the street. They're probably playing stickball or kick the rock or something like that in Nazareth streets. You know, they're having a good little time. You know, John and Jesus were cousins. Then John gets this amazing call and he goes to the wilderness. And he lives there. For more than 30 years. And finally he gets called to come out. If you research the ministry of John the Baptist, your mind will be boggled. They said he probably baptized over 50,000 people. See, I wouldn't even think that. Probably baptized over 50,000 people. You know how many people that is? Because baptism was in the law. So it wasn't no new teaching. It was in the law. And he was baptizing them in repentance. And he's announcing. I mean, he's not afraid to talk to kings and to call kings out on their sins. And he gets locked up. He looked at the disciples when Jesus came to be baptized, and he baptized Jesus, and he saw the Trinity take place in the act of Jesus. The Father spoke from heaven, the Spirit ascended a dove, and there stood the Word. He saw the Trinity appear before his very eyes, and he looked at his disciples and he says, "He must increase, I must decrease." He knew that. That was the Word. He knew that. He got the privilege of announcing, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Now he's locked up. And he's being beaten. He's in the dark. And a couple of his disciples come to see him. And he looks at those disciples and he says, "By the way, you remember that Jesus I said was the Lamb of God? Would you go ask him if he's the one? Or if we need to look for another?" I heard a guy say one time, John was going, "Come on, I had a plan on starting a Baptist church." He's locked in prison, facing beheading for preaching. And the disciples of John go to Jesus and they said, Jesus is standing there teaching, and they said, "By the way, Master, John has sent us. He has a question for you. He wants to know if you're the one or if we should look for another." Boy, did he rim Jesus. Huh? Asking that question. Jesus looks at those disciples and, "You go tell John. He's not with me, is against me." And he reads him some other quote. He says, "Tell him that the blind can see." Oh, by the way, deaf guy, come over here. "Can you hear me?" "Yes, tell him the deaf can hear." "You with a cane, come over here. Now, take off walking." He takes off walking. "Tell him the lame can walk." Because he knew John knew the scriptures. Isaiah 61. He knew he knew the scriptures. "Give him a riot act back." And those disciples leave. And when they leave, he turns and looks at that congregation standing there. He says, "Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. There isn't a man born of women as great as John the Baptist." Because he was forgetting in the dark what he knew in the light. That's human, folks. That's human. John was getting ready to go through a transition, a test. In Matthew 3, it says, John said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is what God said. And the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. See, he was getting ready to go do his test right after he was baptized. Oh, hallelujah. So we must accept that before any major change in our life can take place, we're going to be tested. Change is inevitable. It's the very essence of life. If you resist change, it'll work against you in the very natural course of life. Many times when I go to different pastors' conferences or I visit other churches, I see people in the church that are stuck in yesterday. Some just won't change. They just won't change. If the policies were good enough 100 years ago, they're good enough today. I'm telling you right now, things that worked 5 years ago probably won't work today. It's so easy to get in the rut, and I know that. If you keep doing the same thing that you've always done, you expect to get something different. You're practicing the first step of insanity. Period. The primary three things that we must do to make our transition easier for us. And that's what you're here today. You're here to hear from God, aren't you? You want to know how to live the victorious Christian life in a cruel world. First thing, it's found in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the scripture. You can read that down. Let me tell you what it is. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The first thing you have to do is glory in tribulation. Now that is tough. Amen? That is tough. Suffering for the early church was the norm. For us, it's an exception. But in order to become, we must learn to overcome. Through every difficulty, we will grow a little bit more. And when we glory in tribulation, joy will take over our destiny. We'll be overcome by it, by joy. Oh, hallelujah. So the first thing we need to do is what? Rejoice. Secondly, we need to accept. You need to accept your destiny. Nothing in this world will stop the move of God in your life quicker than not obeying Him. If you won't obey Him, He will find someone who will. Isaiah says, "Here I am, Lord." Jesus said, "I am that I am." That's what God said about Himself. "I am that I am." Who are you? I am. Remember what He told Moses? I am. Not past. Not future, what? I am. So many times, we would be much better if we just take our eyes off us. Everybody say us. Put our eyes on Him. Accept it. Have you ever heard someone say, "Never question God"? Well, good grief. Don't you think He's big enough to handle questioning Him? You know? You parents, have you ever made a decision about your children and then questioned whether it was the right decision or not? You know, that doesn't show lack of faith because you question. And He's not all distraught over it because you question Him, you know? Just look around. You see wicked people living the life of Riley. Well, you can barely pay the bills sometimes, you know? I think it's time for some people to question some things, you know? You think God in His infinite wisdom can't endure a few questions that you might have for Him? I question Him all the time. The first question I asked Him is, "What in the world you use me for?" I've had to learn to just accept my destiny. Folks, let me tell you, this is not what I wanted to do with my life. That's why there's so many powers in my sincere prayers. Because this is a sacrifice. What I do is a sacrifice. It's not what I want to do. Now I don't know how to do anything else, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. Don, my goals was to be a rich businessman. That was my goal. So He makes me into a preacher. You don't tell me God don't have a sense of humor. You know? I don't want to be standing in front of congregations saying what God says. I wanted to stand in front of boards and give goals for the coming season, you know? I want to look at pie charts and graphs going up like our stock market in the last 3 weeks. Over 19,000. I want to look at grass going up. That's why if I really ask Him for something, which I hardly ever do, by the way, for Susie and I hardly ever ask God for something for us. I'm being honest. But if I do, He gives it to me. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. If I ask Him, He gives it to me. I mean, He's made so many things so clear to me that He is completely in charge of my life. You know? And when I do, and He does, it just means so much to me. You have to accept your destiny. Once I accepted what God wanted me to do, I decided I was going to be the best I could possibly be at it. I was going to use all my gifts, all my skills, all my abilities, all my talents. I was going to use them all. I have multi-talented the ministry in my life, all the way from having my hand shoved up a puppet's butt to acting in dramas, to preaching in congregations, to writing curriculums, to writing discipleship materials, to whatever. The only thing He don't let me do is sing. Can I tell you the truth? That's something I would want to do. I just think He's got such a great sense of humor. He won't let me play the tambourine. Well, I'm taking it. He's in charge. But little kids play the tambourine, you know? Oh, well. You just got to accept it. I hear these people saying, oh, I just wish I was a preacher. I thought, are you a lunatic? That's what I want to say to them. You think this is it? This is being a preacher? This is about that much of it. Lord have mercy. The last thing you want to be is a preacher. I got to stand before God, not only for my judgment, but for your judgment. You want to be a preacher? Sometime when you got mad at me and I didn't even know you were mad at me, I got to stand before God over that? But the Bible talks about the fear of God, which is basically a hearty respect. It leads us to living right. And suddenly, when we get our lives in that perspective, we start having the ability to hear His voice. Finally, let me finish this thing. We learn to look at things of life from God's perspective. Do you know a diamond is nothing but a lump of coal? Do you know that? Do you know a diamond must first, even in its raw state, when it comes out as a diamond, it must first be cut before it'll sparkle? Do you know roses have to be crushed before you can really smell them? Seeds, they don't produce till they rot in the ground. You know, Carl, I did that. When I started growing stuff, I planted this row of beans. I was just a young guy. I was in my early 20s. I planted this row of beans, and every day I went out and dug up to see if they were growing. I did. Let's see, what's the gestation? I went out and I dug them up to see if they were growing. Did you get it? One day I had this horrible look on my face because the thing rotted in the ground. Oh no, my beans aren't going to grow. The thing's rotten in the ground. It can't grow. A couple days later, I went out and I looked. We just had a big rain and there was a bean sticking up out of the ground on a stalk. That rotten bean. Things have got to die before they can grow. Stars don't shine till it's dark out. At least you can't see them. And somehow we have to learn to face life from God's perspective. There's a story about two frogs. They fell into a pail of milk. The one frog said, "Oh no, I can't swim forever. I'm going to eventually drown and die." And the other frog looked at him and said, "Not me, buddy. I'm going to paddle like crazy till this stuff turns into butter, and then I'm going to jump out." And that's kind of the way we got to look at it. When you get over your head, you're going to give up. Problems help us. They don't hinder us. They bless us. They're not a burden. They develop us. They don't destroy us. They cleanse us. They don't corrupt us. They define us. They don't ruin us. They mold us. They don't break us. They are for a training, not a torture. And since we know that they are inevitable, it's time to prepare and trust God to make up the difference. Would you stand up with me?